Welcome to the Cherryleaf Podcast. In this episode, we'll look at unifying pre- and post-sales content. Part 1. What is driving this? The way in which customers are buying products and the way in which organisations promote themselves is changing.
Marketers have been using a three-step mental model of marketing for a long time. Stimulus, like developing a TV ad. Shelf, focusing on point of sale, which has historically been called the first moment of truth. And experience. People take the product home and experience it. They could have a good experience or a bad experience, and they share it. This is the second moment of truth. If marketers spend time on these three steps, they should succeed, right? We investigated this theory. We conducted a comprehensive study with research partner Shopper Sciences using 5,000 shoppers across 12 categories, from groceries to cars and financial products. The goal? Show where influence takes place as shoppers move from undecided to decided. We found that the average shopper used 10.4 sources of information, up from 5.3 sources in 2010. We asked shoppers what sources they used to make decisions, when they used it, and how influential is each source. When we lined up their responses, a fourth step appeared in the marketing mental model, the zero moment of truth. This is when consumers do their research, get smart about alternatives, read reviews, look for coupons and comparison shop, all before going to the shelf. When we compare the steps, the zero moment of truth pops up as highly relevant and influential. Consumers have changed the way they have approached decision making. As a marketer, have you kept up, or are you still using the old mental model? There's a new mental model now. And marketers that can now keep all these steps spinning gain a very competitive advantage in today's marketplace.
That was a clip from Google's Zero Moment of Truth, research that Google carried out into how people buy today. And we can see from the impact of TripAdvisor on the hotel and accommodation sector that nowadays, post-sales experience can be as important as pre-sales. Today, marketing has to deal with the fact that customer journeys are no longer linear. There's no entry point. Where they begin can differ enormously. And the idea of a marketing funnel where everybody starts and gets qualified down to become a customer, in many industries, that just doesn't exist anymore. And a lot of focus in marketing today is about what's called relationship marketing, and also a move towards a personalised, customised experience for each prospective customer. Part 2. Why hasn't this convergence happened before? One of the main reasons why we've not seen to date a conversion between technical communication and marketing content is that there are different views between the two groups as to what content is and its purpose. In the marketing world, often content has a short life. It's there for a promotion and then it may not be used again. Also, there is a perception that the presentation or the presentation layer and the content, the words, are baked together. What's important is that they're seen as one single thing. And this is sometimes called a concept of baked versus fried. If you bake in two items together, you can't take them out. And within the marketing world, the visual aspect is very important. And the words, the content that we provide, often involves words that inspire or activate emotions and the imagination. Within marketing, we see great use of narratives, of stories. And the tools that marketers use tend to be tools like InDesign and Photoshop, tools that are very much focused on the visual medium. In the technical communications world, content tends to have a long shelf life. And there's very much the idea of a separation between the presentation layer, how something might look, and the content, the words. So on that baked versus fried analogy, it's more the fried idea that there are different items in a pan and you can take things out if they're not needed without ruining the whole thing. In the technical communications world, the visual aspect can change depending on the format in which people are reading the content. And the words that are used within the technical communications type of content tends to be precise, factual, and trustworthy. Content tends to be written in self-contained units which can be reused, repurposed in different places. And the tools that technical communicators use tend to be focused firstly on the content itself. Tools like Microsoft Word, Madcap Flare, Adobe RoboHelp, Markdown. So can these differences be resolved? Should marketing and technical communications be sharing the same content creation system? Should they be making their content more shareable? And is it possible to share these two different types of content? Before we answer that question, we need to recognise that marketing comes in different forms. In the book Selling the Wheel, Jeff Cox and Howard Stevens tell the story of a fictional technology startup company inventing and marketing the wheel. And through this parable, they look at the life cycle of a business and how marketing and selling changes over that time. In the beginning, there's a stage you might call the early stage. And in the early years of an organization's life, it needs to have a salesperson and a marketing system where people are able to close one-off single deals with as many people who are willing to be pioneers as possible. So at this stage in the story, people are using rollers to move things from point A to point B. They're quite happy with the way things are. And at this stage, marketing and selling teams need to focus on the opportunity associated with the product. What could you do if you had this new thing called a wheel? And the marketing and selling are about the power and the practicality that the product gives the end user. And at this stage, the organisation typically doesn't have the time to focus on customer support or service. And the pioneers, these early adopters, are often quite happy being left to solve problems for themselves. Then comes the growth stage, where an organisation begins growing and starting to take on larger customers. These new customers want expert assistance before and after the sale is made. And the marketing and selling services, the people that are doing this, need to be technically expert enough to be able to deliver a solution customised and tailored to each individual buyer's need. And this often involves instructing the users on how to use the product, providing demonstrations, education, training, as well as installing the service for a client as well. And the organisation needs to start offering support, and it needs to start checking that the product works reliably and stably before release. The third stage is what you might call the mature stage. This is when the majority of the market is using the technology in your product, and the organisation needs to focus on existing customers, getting them to buy more, buy regularly. And they'll pick up new business from competitors screwing up, essentially. At this stage, the focus is now on maintaining relationships with customers and prospects. And the organisation needs to manage complexity, pay attention to the details, and make sure the customer's needs are understood inside the organisation. The final stage in the life cycle is what you might call the commodity stage. This is a mature market where the market has become saturated and the product has a trend towards becoming seen as just a commodity, that the product offered by company A is no different from the product offered by company B. And as an organisation, the goal is to become the market leader with the most efficient supply chain and the lowest costs of development. At this stage, the focus is, where possible, on differentiating your product from your competitors. And this is typically done by offering a better service and by creating a positive customer experience. There's less need for the requirement for customization, but maybe more opportunities for offering value-added services, add-on services or products. Because of the high competition, there's often a lot of mergers and acquisitions that are happening between competitors, which may lead to products developed by a third party being added to the portfolio and needing to be incorporated into your product offering. These different life cycle stages mean the importance and the role of technical and marketing communications content has to change over time, over these different cycles. At the first stage, the organisation needs content that demonstrates the power and practicality of the product and the technology. The organisation needs to be credible, and the technical communications content needs to be consistent with the marketing message. At the second stage, the organisation needs content that enables installation, customization and customer training. It also needs content that enables it to fix any mistakes. At the third stage, it needs content that enables it to manage complexity, to make things easy for existing customers. The technical content must help in avoiding the company from messing things up. And at the fourth stage, the organisation needs content that enables it to provide great service. This might be by enabling customers to solve problems easily themselves, or enabling the support team to be able to provide great service. So the technical communications role, it isn't a simple case of co-creating or sharing content between the marketing and technical communication departments. Different approaches will be needed depending on where the organisation sits at the moment in that life cycle we've just described. And the importance and the role of technical communications content will therefore change depending on the maturity of the market sector. Part 3. Can these differences be resolved? Here is an extract from a presentation by Adobe's Stefan Gentz. Stefan is the worldwide technical communication evangelist at Adobe. He was looking at the merging of technical communication and marketing communication and how the two can be combined using Adobe's Experience Manager software.
Let's think about how we could do it differently by blending marketing and technical communication together into one unified customer experience when it comes to their content. And they could have help page content and they could have marketing content, and both coming together on the website on the left side and some marketing content on the right side. Blending this technical documentation and the marketing communication onto one web page could be very helpful for a company to drive sales, guide the customer from the technical documentation into new sales. Adding or combining and blending these two things, they do not even notice really anymore that they are having a technical documentation in front of them. They are interacting with it in a new way then, and it merges and becomes one experience. Create and manage and publish both marketing and technical content on one platform. You manage it on Adobe Experience Manager and you publish it on your website or on mobile devices, and you do that all in one platform. And you can use all the modules that AM has, like analytics and asset management and so on, also for your technical documentation now. It's connecting the dots between marketing and technical documentation.
Part 4. Can technical communications departments learn from marketing? Here's an extract from a presentation made by David Ryan on this topic. David is the co-founder of Carilla, and this is from a presentation he made at a Write the Docs meetup in Sydney, Australia, back in March earlier this year.
Does it offend anyone? That's okay. Good. I'm glad you find it offensive, because I did too. Because My team wrote a suite of documentation for Red Hat that's responsible for one third of the company's $2 billion revenue globally. So we thought we were kind of important, except we wrote giant books. And in my early pitches, I used to actually go to investor pitches with a giant book and say, are there any technical writers in the room? A few people with their hand up. And I'd throw the book on the table and go, boom. The louder that sound, the happier the product teams were, because they're like, that's so much documentation. We've documented the hell out of the product. Guess what happens? No one reads that book. Guess what they do? They go to Stack Overflow or they go to Google. Every page is page one. And it's, I'm not sure who in our community coined that term, but it's so true. So I had to face the facts that me being UX, IA, whatever fancy term I want to give myself, was missing the fact we weren't tracking the analytics of our users. We were writing books because we were Red Hat. We're the world's best open source people, hands down. Except we didn't understand that no one was reading our documentation anymore. So when I've written hundreds and hundreds of pages of very technical documentation, and my silly test on Stack Overflow, writing and answering my own questions, is where all the people are going instead, I realized 2 days' work for the company is a lot cheaper than 6 months. Whether we like it or not, as content experts and technical writers, we are merging with that industry, if only because that's what the CEO is writing the budget for. And these teams are merging. It's happening. You can't escape it. But what we can do as Write the Docs is to actually look at real patterns around the world. And as someone that spends a lot of time on planes meeting these people, I had the same response. I was like, this is snake oil. But then when I actually realized my rage was calling them to account for using their techniques better, and by bringing the kind of slightly lofty expertise we have sometimes, it's merging them to become a really awesome thing where you can sit down and have a content strategist say, hey, I know how Google AdWords work. I was about to say Facebook Ads, we have two Google people here. And wonderful Google AdWords, we won't necessarily use it, but we could do a test. When we release a product, could we advertise some of our quick start guides? Would that be interesting? Or could we look at ways that SEO works? And I hate the term SEO, I don't like SEO, but I have to face it as a reality, because if I'm writing 200 pages of documentation and each one of those pages is getting indexed, wouldn't it be nice to understand how they're getting indexed? They are. Those roles emerging, the skills emerging. There's a very tricky conversation about demographics too, about university graduates coming in as technical writers, they're being exposed to these different forms of content strategy as well. And I like that there's that rage there, because I think we'll get better and better content if we embrace. Plus, I'm a bit of a hippie. I want everyone to get along. And if the teams are merging these people, it'd be nice if they understand what each other do.
Summary. Should marketing and technical communications be using the same content creation system? The answer is maybe. If all of the marketing content is online, if the organization is outside of that initial first stage, then there's a case to be made for having the same content creation system, if it can suit the requirements of both types of content. Should marketing and technical communications make their content shareable? Yes, there's opportunities for the content that both provide to be shared, particularly technical communications content to the marketing material, the client-facing, prospective client-facing content. Can content be shared? The answer is yes. There are tools that enable that to happen. But again, we need to recognize that the tools that marketeers tend to use and technical communication people tend to use often aren't the same, have different areas of focus. Thanks for listening. My name is Ellis Pratt, and Cherryleaf is a technical writing services company. So if you need help in creating technical content for end users that integrates with your marketing content, then do contact us. Also, if you have any comments about this podcast and about this topic, do please contact us via email info@cherryleaf.com.